I want to welcome everybody to THP Radio, and more specifically, The Green Side, with your hosts, The Hacker's Paradise and PutterZone.com. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Sean Weir of PutterZone, we have an incredible show for you this week. I want to bring in Sean and let him introduce himself to those who have not heard our show before, but this is a show that's a collaboration between THP and PutterZone.com, where we talk about everything involving the short game and 100 yards and in, with more specifically detailed stuff on putters. How are you doing, Sean?
Good, Josh. How about you?
I'm doing well. It's been an interesting month for me, and I've been playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, I think this is, show number 5?
I believe this is show number 5
count,
for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it's gone fast.
It has. Every
feels
show
like
gets
show number 2 to me.
Gets closer and closer, and there's so much stuff happening in the world of the green side that maybe we need to expand into future special episodes as well.
Yeah, last time we did the green side, you were gaming the NC X-Ray putter, the Never Compromise X-Ray. Have you remained monogamous?
I have. You know, I'm doing some testing for, you know, reviews and an article we have coming up that's kind of intriguing. But the Never Compromise X-Ray is in my bag, and I'm trying not to cheat on it, but I've been picking up so many for this piece we have coming up that it's making me hard not to stray. And I hate to cheat on the beauty, but it seems to happen.
I hear you.
Not my wife, obviously, but...
You know, this wandering eye, you know, it's when you've got a couple dozen putters staring at you, it's hard not to wander.
Well, and that's right. And the first segment we're going to kick off is hot new gear. And, you know, when we get into that, the listeners will know exactly what we're talking about. It's hard not to wander.
Yeah, yeah. We try, but, you know, it's like living inside that putter section at your local golf store, you know, where everything looks good but the one you're gaming. So, you know, there's always the ever-present temptation.
Well, that sound signifies our first segment, which is always hot new gear. Sean, what do we got to start with this week?
We're going to start with the Odyssey Black Tour Designs two-ball blade putter.
Well, as I mentioned before, I've been straying a bit for the purposes of article research, and I'm doing your finger quotes on the radio. I've been playing this one for the last couple of rounds, and they have something special on their hands here.
Yeah, I really like this putter, and to be honest, I haven't been historically a big two-ball fan. I'm not sure why. I think it's just, ironically, the ubiquity of the two-ball sort of makes it easy for me to ignore.
You know, that's not that makes more sense than it sounded the way you said it. I think
it's kind of like the movie Twilight. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it really is.
I therefore have no desire to see it. Well, and you know, this two ball everywhere I go, every sports shop, every sporting goods store, and for some reason I was just never drawn to it. I was never drawn to. And I don't know why. I think it's just, you know, there it is. It's everywhere, and therefore I just overlook it.
Well, you know, and it doesn't hurt. Half the pros, it seems like, in every tournament are playing in. And it's so noticeable from so far away that you're right. It did seem that it was like overkill, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. If people are using it, it usually means it's working. But
yeah.
I had always kind of shied away from it, even though I liked the alignment. But the overall shape of the putter just didn't suit me that well. But when I saw the finish, first of all, I love the black finish, the black tour finish that they use, that Odyssey uses on this line. And I've been in love with a couple of different models. And when I got this one in my hands, it immediately went – we have an indoor putting green here. It immediately went over to the putting green, and I just kept rolling it. And the alignment really works with the blade version of this, and it's different than the one in the previously.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same reaction. I took it out there, and it was just like, wow, this thing really pops. The white two balls against the black is just, from an alignment standpoint, brilliant. The non-insert, my understanding is this first two ball without an insert face.
Correct.
And, yeah, I'm just like, wow, you know, I get it now.
Yeah, and I feel like in some ways there's a validation there that I all of a sudden I understand what everybody was talking about. But I love the feel off the face of this putter. I find it like almost like a juicy feeling. And I will tell you, this is something unique that I've been experimenting with for this article we have coming up, and that is putting this putter with different golf balls. And this specific putter feels very different with a Callaway golf ball than it does with the normal golf ball that I play. And I found it almost intriguing because it's significantly different.
Well, it sounds maybe like there's a conspiracy there, isn't there? That's their sister brand,
Well, it,
Callaway. So maybe they've designed their golf balls and their putters to just work so wonderfully together.
maybe, or that's where they test it, and that's kind of the way it goes. I don't have my tinfoil hat on this week. I left it at the other office.
For feel is a little ball I'm playing, but it almost it's different for me. It feels almost like wood, solid wood, and that's not bad. It's just sort of this. I can't explain it. There's this sort of noble oak feeling to it, which is really strange for, you know, a metal face. But and that could be due to the fact that you have the two balls incorporated into the design, that you have all of the weight centered behind the line of the putt, and it just gives off a different feel for me.
Yeah, I didn't have that the woods feeling, and some I kind of wish I did because it sounds very noble. But one thing I noticed with this putter more so than I do with a lot of different models that we test out, when I'm that 7 to 12 foot range, that you know the ones you really have to make to save par, or you really have to make to take advantage of that bogey, or make to save the up and down, whatever it is, this goes back to my feeling of I finally understand the two ball, because I feel as though the confidence there is. It's there. I feel like I can't miss.
Yeah, I mean, I think this putter has a nose for the hole, and I don't think it's just the alignment. It just seems to want to swing on plane.
You're right. That kind of sums it up well.
Yeah, you know, and for people who like a blade style putter, but seek the added confidence that you maybe get with a mallet, this is, you know, sort of a perfect hybrid. There's a little bit of toe hang. And it just seems like it really, even with a, you know, an arcing stroke, it just really stays square to the line. And it could be too that tungsten weight is centered again right behind the sweet spot. So rather than pushing weight out to the extreme perimeters, the weight is centered behind the line of the putt. And you know, it's just theory, but it just seems to really want to keep the putter on line. So you've got that alignment, and then you've got that added what I would call inherent balance to the putter, and it just, you know, has a nose for the hole on those short ones.
And that kind of can go hand in hand with MOI, and I, you know, we'll get into that at a different time later on in the show. The next putter we're going to talk about is a brand we have not discussed on the green side, and a lot of our listeners may not know about yet, and that is Peretti Putters and the new Cottonwood 2 that's come out. And you've been rolling one. I have not tried this one yet, but I am very familiar with Peretti, and I know that this comes in two models. There's a 303 stainless as well as a carbon, and I've seen pictures of the carbon, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Why don't you give it people like kind of an intro to this putter?
Yeah, the Cottonwood 2 is the follow-up to the inaugural Cottonwood putter by Peretti. Peretti launched in 2008. Mike Johnson is the guy behind it, and I'm really impressed with this putter. I have one of their earlier prototypes, and I felt like it just hadn't all come together, and I think they've really taken it to the next level with this Cottonwood 2 carbon steel putter.
When you've tested the carbon steel, the finish to me looks amazing. What was your first thoughts on the finish as you've gotten a chance to try it out?
My first thought was, wow, you know, this, I mean, it is exquisite, and it reminds me of the gunmetal finish on the Seymour DB4 putter.
Okay, so
They
that's
call it,
definitely a nice finish because that's one of my favorites.
yeah, it's they call it Midnight Black, and it's got this almost mirrored quality to it. It doesn't throw off a lot of glare, but it just
It's that piano black kind of finish.
Yeah,
That's
it's
my
sweet.
favorite there is out there, and I'm glad to see more companies are embracing that look.
Additionally, too, you know, they've just worked out the aesthetics of their paint fill and just the whole presentation of the putter. it compared to the earlier putters, I really think they've nailed it in terms of just that right balance of branding and elegance.
What were you getting feel from your early swinging of it?
The feel is beautiful. Very soft native carbon steel feel. It just...
For those who have not tried, you know, a native carbon steel putter, it's something you really do need to try because it's a different feel altogether. Not only is it more usually relation to a softer feeling at impact, but there's a different audible tone that you just don't find in other models.
Exactly. And, you know, just going back a little, this, you know, Pretty is what I would call an artisan putter workshop. You know, they are making high-end CNC milled putters, and they are going for that sort of ultra premium market. And I really think that they have come on strong with this putter.
Now, for those that don't know Pareti, they've been around for about 2 years, and
right.
I can tell everybody now that one of their putters, or two of their putters, I should say, are in a unique article we have coming up in THP the magazine in the summer issue featuring Freddie Couples that ships in a couple of weeks. And we've been trying them out, and their putters do have a unique feel to them in my mind. And I think that that's in relation to it, the audible tone. And I can't wait to try this one out. You had me salivating as we were talking off the air when you were describing it, and just the pictures alone are incredible.
Yeah, I would call the feel, you know, classic buttery feel right off the face. You know, what people should know is that this is an answer style putter, but with a wider flange. It's got a little more girth to it, and they say that you know, that helps the average recreational golfer, the amateur, just have a little more confidence over the putt. And another distinguishing factor on this putter is that it is 365 grams, which is pretty darn heavy.
Okay, so similar to what we talked about in our last show, putter weight, we're seeing an increasingly overall in the industry, companies are going heavier and heavier.
Yeah, and this is yet another example. You know, the 350 plus range was the new heavier, and now 360 plus is the new heavier. And, you know, I don't think it's for everyone. You know, there's different schools of thought and different approaches, but for those who like a heavier blade style putter, this is right in your wheelhouse. And that sound signifies the Tech Talk segment of the Greenside. And today we're going to talk about milled putters. We often hear the term milled, and I think a lot of people wonder, what in the hell does it mean? Why does it cost me more money?
Well, you're right. And before we get into that, I want to clarify something because we've been talking a lot about this. And there's so many companies out there that are saying milled now, and a lot of times they don't mean milled putters. They're referring to the face being milled. You have a term for it. What are you talking about? And explain that to the listeners.
Well, yeah, you hear the word milled, and it conjures up, you know, a high-end putter milled from a solid block of metal. And what companies are doing now, in addition to simply milling the entire putter, is what's called skim milling, where the putter is cast from molten metal and then, say, the face is finished on a milling machine. So a skim milled putter, such as, say, the Cleveland Classic for under $100, still has a milled face. But it shouldn't be confused with 100% milled putter.
So when do many of the main name brands, for the listeners out there, do 100% milling?
More and more are. We're seeing that category grow, and I would say that category is in the $200-plus category. So when you see TaylorMade roll out its Kia Ma putters, when you see Odyssey roll out the Tour Black, and Nike with its Method, those are all 100% milled putters. Milled is it's basically the process of literally sculpting or cutting out the putter from a solid block of metal on a CNC milling machine. And that is in contrast to what is called a cast putter, where in on more inexpensive putters, the putter is created from a mold, and molten metal is poured into that mold to create the shape, and then the shape is finished. So it's two entirely different processes, and milling is much more labor and cost intensive, which is why 100% milled putter is going to set you back a little more.
What should the listeners who are trying out milled putters expect to get from them?
Well, there's there's a sense that there's just obviously more precision to a milled putter. There's more consistency. You know, with cast putters, they get hot and then they cool, and there's a feeling out there, although I think things have greatly improved metallurgically over the years and process-wise, and I'm no expert on this, but, you know, a milled putter, you're getting just the highest possible quality metal, the highest possible grain, the highest possible consistency, flatness, all of the things you're looking for in a putter. You could be assured a milled putter, a well-made milled putter is going to have those things. And so it's just added confidence. And then I think there's also, you know, depending on the putter itself, there's a native feel to a milled putter that when done right is just unbeatable, I think.
You know, speaking of going back to that thing I was saying earlier, that we're working on an article and I've been working with a couple of different milled putters, and one of them is the two ball we were speaking about earlier. It just has an incredible milled feel to it. But the other one is by Machine Putters, and they've made some news recently because Ryan Moore has been playing one of their putters for the last tournament, and they have a really cool, again, the milled design on the face called VMG, which is vertical mill groove, but that milling that they do in their putters is unlike anything I've ever felt before. Not better or worse than others, it's just a different feeling, and it's incredibly soft.
Yeah, when you mill a putter, you're not only cutting the putter out of a solid block, but then you have the ability to really finely etch or mill patterns into the face or other nuances into the design itself. And so, you know, with what you're talking about with machine putters or the honeycomb pattern on the face of the Bettinardi putters, it's really cool. And that face pattern can add to differentiations in the feel of the putter.
Do you have any favorites out there that have struck a chord with you recently? I'm not talking about overall the ones you're gaming. I'm talking about just specifically milled putters that you've tried recently that just struck a chord.
Well, the Bettinardi BB putters really stand out to me recently as just a superior milled putter. I really like the Seymour M series putters, you know, the latest ones.
We couldn't go a show without mentioning Seymour.
We couldn't. So those are two among many that, you know, if we're talking, obviously you have the Method putter. The new Seymour M7 has an insert. The Method has an insert. So, you know, there are these 100% milled putters with these sort of add-ons. But if you're talking pure native milled steel, you know, something like the Bettinardi BB really stands out.
And obviously the Cottonwood, too, that you're trying out now.
Yeah, there you go.
The Bettinardi putters do stand out to me for many different reasons, one of which is the feel, the look, and everything else that goes about them. But there are a ton of examples, both companies large and small. And as mentioned, we have an article coming up in the magazine called Putters That Make a Statement, Style Art Performance, that I think people want to check out because there's quite a few in there. Like I said, I've been trying quite a few, and when you're dealing with a milled putter, they all feel differently. And I think that's an incredible, it's like a musical instrument, how you have a different audible tone and a different impact feel in almost every putter you try. Sometimes they're very subtle, but the milling itself with the grain and the different pieces of metal cause so many different feels and sounds that go with each one. And when you find one that works for you, you'll know it instantly.
Yeah, I think, you know, milling is sort of like you've already hit a triple, you know. You're on third base, and it's just that much closer to the home run in terms of the feel. But like you say, each putter, the way it's constructed, in terms of its design, the acoustics, how thin the face is, where the weight is distributed, all those things are going to change. So you might have milled stainless steel of the exact same type of stainless steel, but made and designed in different ways will give off different feel. But, you know, going back to sort of the skim milling, there's a reason why, say, a Cleveland skim mills the face, and that is because it adds a layer of precision. So it's not 100% milled putter, but what they're doing there is milling the face to ensure that it's perfectly flat, which the fact that they're doing that shows that there's some inherent variation possibly with a cast putter, and they're trying to eliminate that variation, at least on the face, by milling it into a precisely flat surface.
And let's also not forget the fact that it's more aesthetically pleasing. And, you know, people are going to flock to something that's more aesthetically pleasing immediately anyway.
Yeah, again, because that's just that Cleveland, you know, classic. At $69, has that pattern on the face that's milled in, and it just looks beautiful.
And that sound means it's time for the buzz. What do we have to talk about this week, Sean?
Well, we talked before the show, but maybe about sharing our experiences on the practice putting greens. We're not on the practice putting greens, but around the practice putting greens at some of the golf tournaments we've been to. Most recently for me was the U.S. Open in Pebble Beach, and it was fun to basically be, you know, pressing the nose to the glass of the PGA Tour putting zoo there.
Yeah, you know, Golfer Gal and myself, we've gone to a lot of tournaments as both media and spectators, and you know, being on the putting green as media is something to behold. But even being there as a fan and watching these guys and how hard they work at their skill is really something to behold. Because while we amateurs go out and we'll practice putting or, you know, bang balls and this and that, there is a method to their madness. And you'll see training aids, you'll see four different guys huddled around a guy putting and making sure they're making it and so on and so forth. Did you see anything incredibly unique out there at the U.S. Open?
Well, you know, it really reinforced to me that, you know, putting is so individual because you see so many different styles and putters and things like that. And people often ask me, what's the best putter? What's the best way to putt? Well, here are these guys with everything on the line, and they're all trying different putters, and they're all employing different putting styles. So I think it just, you know, further reinforces going out to a practice green at one of the tournaments and seeing all of the different methods and tools that they're using, that it really is such an individual art. But some common threads I noticed was that their lie angles were all correct. In other words, you didn't see the toes of the putters sticking up in the air or the heels sticking up in the air.
So you didn't see Steve Stricker putt?
No, I didn't see him. I mean, you know, again, I shouldn't make a declarative statement that they're all like that, but in general, compared to the average practice putting green down the road at your local country club or golf course, I mean, you can tell that they're all pretty well fit for their putters.
Absolutely.
And another thing I noticed was, you know, despite all of the different putting methods and approaches out there, that there's just so little breakdown on the wrists. They really putt through the ball. And again, comparing to just the rest of us, you look at a group of guys like that, and you can just see the ability and the training as they putt through the ball, not to have breakdown, not to flip the wrists.
Those are
the common threads that I saw.
One of the things that we see, and we've seen, are trends similar to yourself, but in a different way almost, and that is the different players and how hard they work on the practice green. Now, this is not a relation of how hard they work in their own life, you know, to practice their art. But, you know, on practice round days or before the round, you'll see a lot of guys out there for hours working on their putting. And then you'll see guys sitting around on the putting green, not really working on it, you know, joking around with friends and this and that. And I always find it funny that it's the most common way for us to pick winners and things like that, because the guys who aren't practicing putting don't make putts that weekend. It seems to be the same thing. And the other thing that we see a lot is, like I mentioned earlier, the training aids. Everybody is working with something to make sure their putting stroke is straight and their hands aren't moving and everything else. And watching these guys putt from, you know, that 8 to 12 foot range and making 16, 17, 18 in a row is something ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw Rory McIlroy sinking 8-footers while talking on the cell phone. He was putting with one hand.
he was telling Ben Crane to hurry up and finish.
There you go. But, you know, another thing that struck me, too, that was fun, and I haven't been to nearly as many of these as you have, but just how the personalities, how you envision these guys, you know, on TV and what you hear about them and what you read about them. You know, it was so vivid on the putting green. You know, Rory Sabatini was looking a little mischievous as he was walking around. You know, who is it? Who's the guy who does the Spider-Man?
Camilo Villegas.
Yeah. He does, you know, he can't just practice his putting. He has to go into this sort of elegant stoop and swing his putter around in a circle, creating a 3-foot line or circle in the dew of the grass from which he can do his 3-foot drill. You know, it was sort of like performance art, which just totally squares with everything about that guy. You know, he's sort of this Spider-Man guy, and he looked like Spider-Man out there. And so it was fun to see all these personalities sort of, you know, vividly, just as I would have imagined.
And the school bell always means the same thing, and that is education time and our segment called Jargon Buster. This week, I have my pen and pad ready, as I always do, and we're going to talk about MOI, and it's a term that's not even just with putters, but it's thrown around throughout this industry, and every reader hears about it, and most know about it, but a lot of people get confused on, is there good MOI and bad MOI, and everything else. So, Sean, why don't you kind of explain where we're going with this one and the general overview of it?
Yeah, MOI is one of those buzzwords like milled, like so many others that gains momentum, and pretty soon it's everywhere. But everyone may not understand it or what it signifies. MOI is short for moment of inertia, and moment of inertia is basically a measurement of a putter's or golf club's head weight properties. And higher MOI, a higher reading or level or degree of MOI, I'm not sure what the technical term is for it, usually or does signify a resistance to twisting and turning. So a putter with higher MOI is going to, on a putt not hit on center, is going to be more resistant to twisting on impact, which means it will be more forgiving. You'll have less dispersion. You'll have more consistency, even when you don't hit the putt perfectly.
Do you think, because, you know, we've always heard that high MOI is great for a lot of putters, and then over the last couple of years, there's been quite a few come out with a low MOI number, you know, with weight at the center and, you know, to help the more advanced putter. Do you have a preference in one or the other?
You know, I really don't. I don't pay a lot of attention to it. I think it can run in the background like an antivirus program and, you know, keep you out of trouble. But, you know, what I'm looking for in a putter first is not MOI. If it happens to be in the higher MOI in the putter that I like at that time, you know, then great. That's added security. MOI is, you know, basically my understanding. Again, I'm no expert on this, but it's achieved when you move weight of the total weight of the putter, when you move more of it toward the perimeters and the extremes and the rear and lower away from the center of gravity. So you will typically notice that putters with really high MOI are the big mallets.
Right, and they'll have the perimeter weighting around the outside.
Right, right. And you look at like the TaylorMade Spider with the wings. That's a classic example of a high MOI design.
I thought that was a metal detector. That's a putter.
There you go. And, you know, even this Odyssey 2 ball that we're talking about, the weight is really low and it's positioned at the rear. And that adds MOI, even though it is in line with, say, the sweet spot.
Did you ever get to try out the Rife IMO?
I didn't, no.
It you know, it was very light around the outside and weight down the middle, and they talked about the MOI in that, and it was a putter that I actually really enjoyed. However, I did find twisting properties to it, and I think that's a great example. If you have a chance to pick that putter up, I think it's a great example of MOI as a whole, and you'll notice high and low and what works best for you with that putter.
Yeah, and one thing I'll have to give credit to is Roger Maltby for a great example of MOI. If you take two irons and you overlap the clubs at the center and say grab them both with your hand. In other words, you have an iron to the left of your hand and an iron to the right of your hand, and the shafts basically pointing out. So now you're holding a stick in the center with the grip ends on the outside. You can basically twist and turn the clubs really easily in your hand. But if you reverse it and you're holding the grip end with the heavy club heads at either end, and you're gripping this overlapping grips in your hand, it's really hard to twist and turn those two clubs. And so that's a pretty vivid example of how MOI works. If that weight is on the outside, it's really going to be hard to twist and turn.
Do you find that MOI is as prevalent in putters as it is, you know, irons, drivers, and wedges and everything else? Or even
more. Well, now, in terms of a buzzword, I think it's just inherent to game improvement irons and things like that. That's what that is. In putters, though, it's become a buzzword, a hot new thing, so to speak. It's, I think even the Ping Answer with its perimeter weighting to some degree is an MOI putter. It's just that they've taken it to the extreme now with some of these mallets. So again, you know, it's a nice safety net. I try to hit the ball on center, and MOI won't matter.
That's true, and easier said than done for me and everybody else.
Me included.
I want to thank you, obviously, because as usual, this show's been a blast. You know, we have new segments every single time we do the show each month, and I always get an education as well as get to chat with a friend about the hottest new stuff in short game. And I look forward to doing it again. As always, you can contact me at josh@thehackersparadise.com, and you can contact the professor, Sean, at putterzone.com. And check out his site. There's always great information, educational, informative reviews, and everything else updated, it seems like, almost daily now. And I'm looking forward to some of the reviews we've been talking about that you have coming up.
Thanks, Josh. And until next time, everybody,
don't fear the greens, conquer them.